Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. One of the single most important principles we need to really understand as Christians is this. There is a vast difference between being saved and being blessed. Being saved is entirely a work of faith. You're saved by trusting in Jesus alone. Being blessed, however, comes from you making an intentional effort to love Jesus and serve Him. Regrettably, very few Christians are aware that they are not doing this. They may be saved, but they are not blessed. Let's open our Bible now that we might truly learn that being blessed will not happen on its own.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday morning here in Texas. As I always say, we just came from Bible study with the Kingdom D guys. And man, we had a good, serious Bible study. I mean, a Bible study where hopefully we were encouraged and exhorted. Now, ultimately, we left the Bible study. And it does appear that all the guys were encouraged and exhorted, but I do confess that I scolded the guys or something. I was frustrated over something that I may even have misunderstood. I'm not sure, and so I had to repent over that, and we went on to have an extremely good Bible study again. What we had was like what church would have been like in the early church. This model, which again is fine, right? Going to church is a good thing, but where you come together in a building and listen to, sing some songs, give praise and worship together, and then listen to one man talk for 45 minutes in a monologue. That's good. And that's something we ought to be, should be in a good, sound, Bible-based church. But that's around 300 years old. What we now have is Bible study, and particularly a Bible study where men and women come together and really, there's a dialogue, there's an interaction where, I lead the Bible study, I set the table, so to speak, and then the guys interject and the guys will be transparent about how well that they're living out the scripture or how well they understand the scripture. We discussed some substantial doctrine this morning regarding, really what's involved in our salvation, what Jesus has given us and what he's taken, and then how we're to live in light of it. And so we did leave, we did leave encouraged and listening because all of us pray. We all pray, not long, maybe a minute, maybe a minute and a half. Everyone prays different. But at the end of the Bible study, every man or man and woman, if there are women there, anyone can come. It's at 6:30 in the morning. Everyone prays. And so anyway, that's how the early church would have been. They would have gotten together and, they didn't have big buildings yet. So they would have been in houses. And there would have been leaders. But again, it would have been more of a discussion around the word of God. And man, when it's done and it's done with the right heart, you really feel Jesus being there. You remember when Jesus said, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's just not Jesus isn't just simply talking about two people that happen to puppet his name. He's not talking about just two people who claim to be Christians. He's talking about when two or more come together and in their heart, intentionally are coming together because they want to learn about Jesus and talk about Jesus and break apart his word and evaluate their lives in regard to the scripture and then repent over areas where they're not doing well. And they do work on that. Those kind of people, Jesus is right there in the midst of them. That's the kind of folks Jesus wants to be around. Wow, golly. I mean, that's who Jesus is at home with. And I was about to get into 2 Peter, but let's turn real quick to John chapter 14. Let's go to John 14, Stephen. Stephen puts in the slides and all that on YouTube. And, my boy Nathan, my son-in-law, he goes in and he does his edits and stuff like that. It's a whole team with Stephen and Nathan and Kristen. I'm thankful for them. But in John 14, I mean, we, you know, we can't say this enough. Who does Jesus want to be around? Who does Jesus want to spend time with? Whew. I'll tell you this. Jesus wants to spend time with people who are in the Word of God, who spend time in their Bible alone. We do these teachings because they help you spend time in the Word of God. And the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more time you'll spend growing to know the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, which is the meaning of all of life, is to grow to know Jesus, to grow to love Him, to grow to be like Him, and to sincerely and consistently, joyfully repent for the ways you're not like Him. Examine yourself, okay? No condemnation, no shame, no guilt, but to truly acknowledge where you are falling short and how you want to do better, living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus. That's everything we do. You don't give to the work of Christ for the people. You need to find good, sound, Bible-based churches and ministries, men and women on the ground who are actually doing the work of Christ. Churches that are preaching the Word of God, and not only that, discipling you, not only from a pulpit. You can never make disciples from a pulpit, okay? The pulpit's a good thing. It's an important thing. What we do here, similarly, right? You listen to me, one man, you know, preach or teach for 30 minutes. All of that's there to supplement and help you to be a disciple, okay? But disciples can't be made from a pulpit. Okay, that'll help you grow as a disciple. Listening to these teachings will help you grow as a disciple. But you ought to be involved with people in your life that are giving you time, that are holding you accountable, that are speaking into your life, that are giving you wisdom in all kinds of things. By the mercy of Jesus, I'm an old man now, 56 years old, but people are consistently calling me or asking questions about all kinds of things. You know, the guys will ask me questions about all kinds of things that I happen to have an understanding on or a belief on, or things I've sought Jesus, things in this life, right? Man, when do I buy a new car? My car's getting old. What's going on here? I got something wrong with my house. What do you think? Now, I'm certainly not a... By no means am I a gifted carpenter, but just how to facilitate different things in life. And of course, now their spiritual life and spiritual walk. You ought to have relationship with your pastors, okay? You ought to get to know your pastors and start to walk with them. They ought to be giving you their time. You know, when you find places like this, and men and women on the ground who are doing the work of Christ, you want to give. You want to give of your money to that work in the service of Christ and His gospel and the advancement of His kingdom. Again, when you do this, when you pray, when you fellowship, when you have community, when you walk in repentance, you grow to know Jesus better. You grow to please Him more. You grow to be more like Him. And this whole life actually starts to take on meaning. Without Jesus, there is no meaning in life. You may feel like you have meaning in your wife, your kids, your work, your fun, your job. It's all temporary. It's all earthly. It's superfluous. It's of no eternal use. Now, hear me when I say all that's fine. It's a good thing that you love your children, that you love your job, that you love your hobbies, that you love spending time with friends and all that stuff. But if there's no real Jesus, no growth in Jesus, no walk with Jesus, then it's all just temporary. Of course, you know, I want everyone to be happy and everyone to have a nice family life and to have good relationships with their kids. But again, ultimately, life is about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Golly. I haven't even prayed yet. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness, Your favor, Your grace, Your wonder, Your love on our lives. We thank You that we have our Bible. We thank You for just everything You've given us, all the tools that we have, the Word of God, that we have prayer, that we have praise and thanksgiving and fellowship, that we have community, that we have church, that we have Bible study, that we have the incredible tool of repentance, Lord. Lord, we just thank You. We praise You, Lord. We worship You that we have all of these tools that we can better know Jesus, that we can better walk with Jesus and live for Jesus, love for Jesus, again, give for Jesus and forgive for Jesus. Convict us, Holy Spirit, that when we give to your work, that we're giving for Jesus, not for the church or ministry, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us to consistently walk in this principle. Convict us. Jesus, we love you. We bless you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you. You are our all in all, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and end, our first and our last. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us now as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. So, I got excited here. And so, again, we're in John 14, the Gospel of John 14, verse 23. And Jesus says, it says, Jesus replied, John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, this is the meaning of life, again, to love Jesus. Search your own heart right now and be honest with yourself. How much do you love Jesus? How much concern do you have for Jesus? How much do you think about, is this pleasing to Jesus or not? How much are you convicted when you know you're not pleasing to Jesus? How much does it bother you when you're living in apathy or in indifference? Boom, we get kicked out of church talking like this, right? But this is why we have this Bible. You know, I was delighted this morning as, you know, because again, sometimes, again, a minister has to have a certain balance. Probably the one of the biggest problems in the church today is that we're imbalanced. We talk about the love of God and we talk about his grace and we talk about that 95% of the time. The love of God, the love of our Heavenly Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, these are all extremely important and essential principles. But we need to also talk about obedience. We need to talk about the need of repentance. We need to be exhorted to be living for Jesus more, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus more and more and more and more. And so, but at the same time, you know, we don't want to be imbalanced as I can be and, just being too heavy handed on always exhorting or always rebuking or always being frustrated or always correcting. And so this morning I went out of my way to. And I know I was true to tell the guys that I was encouraged by seeing how they're doing well and how they are reading the word of God. And these guys have gotten back on. We have an accountability group with 8 guys in it, myself and 7 guys, and we're accountable. Every church, everywhere, every ministry, every person should be involved in one of these. Okay. And try as I might, I can't replicate it, but you ought to be involved. Use your phone. Okay. And you ought to have a group, okay? It can be a group of men, a group of women, and where you guys are accountable, where you text each other, you know, where whatever the group has. Let's say it has 3 people, 5 people, 7 people, 8 people, where every day you're going to text that you've done an agreed upon Bible reading. You're going to, you know, you're reading, say, through the Bible in a year, and you're all reading the same plan, and you text that, you know, you just send a text or a check mark. Or say done when you've done your reading. And then, you know, like our group, we text when we've done reading, when we've done prayer, and when we've done evangelism. And every day, you know, we look to get a specific Bible reading done at a minimum. Now, you do, you know, often I'll do more reading, but at least I'm going to do the reading that's assigned for the day to the group. To this text group. And then, you know, then there's, you know, praying on the armor of God and what that looks like. You know, every day the guys are praying on the armor of God and, you know, they're exhorted to pray on their knees and then to get some gospel tracts out. So as far as evangelism, someone may say, man, I'm not good at sharing the gospel. And some of the guys will say that and we need to get better at it. But still, you can go to our website, kingdomd.org. You know, the gospel tracts are there. There's 3 gospel tracts that we've written. And you can print them. They print perfectly on an 8x10 piece of paper. And if you just get out one a day, y'all, I mean, that's 365 a year. You have no idea. it's when you print the gospel tract, again, kingdomd.org, and there are gospel tracts that are written that'll explain to people that they're sinful, that the Bible says they need a savior. They're filled with scripture about every human being sinful, needing a savior, that without Jesus, only hell awaits. And the gospel tract will lead them by the scriptures. It's just one page on one side to faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a prayer at the end for the person to receive Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 1, golly, 16 and 17, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So if you'll print one of those gospel tracts, and it's set up in a way where you can fold it up, you can just leave it somewhere out in your day. You can leave it in the grocery store aisle. You could put it under a windshield wiper on a car. You can drop it in a mailbox. You can leave it on the table. You could put it under the, you know, under the ketchup or the salt and pepper when you're out at a restaurant. You can leave it in the bathroom at work. You can, you know, leave it on top of the toilet, you know, paper dispenser. You can leave them anywhere. And now you have the word of God that you've left there, and you don't know how the Holy Spirit's going to use it. There are amazing testimonies over the centuries how people have found a gospel tract that someone left that talked to them about their need of Jesus, and they got saved. Anyway, so these guys will get out, you know, they get out multiple tracts a day. And, you know, they're convicted, you know what, we need to do this too. And so the guys will send an accountability, you know, in this group that we have, and we're all accountable to one another. I do it just the same as everyone else. And we send, you know, our accountability every day. That's part of it as well, that, you know, when you've completed your reading, when you've completed your prayer and praying on the armor of God, and when you've got, at least one track out, you can send a text that you've done your minimum disciplines for the day. Yeah, your minimum. Okay. Now, they've often done more. Now, again, none of this has anything to do with our salvation. It's imperative that we understand that. Okay. None of us are doing this to get saved. None of us are doing this to help us go to heaven. We're doing this because we know that it's our responsibility in light of all that Jesus has done for us. This is what it means to love him, to care about him, to want to please him, which is to do is to help others know him. And again, when you give into the work of Christ and your money, you know, when people give to our ministry, you're giving to a ministry that does this, helping pay my salary. And so, you know, we're very blessed. None of these things we do to save us. We're saved by receiving Jesus Christ. And only by receiving Jesus Christ. But we do this because we love him, because we want to obey him, because we want to do our part in making those spiritual deposits and putting the word of God in us. Because we know by faith, we know that the scripture says the more we put the word of God in us, the more it changes us, right? Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our spiritual life, we're fed by being in the scriptures. And then the scripture teaches us to be in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Again, when you spend time in prayer, and again, you could pray 10 times a day. It'd be better to pray 10 times a day for a minute than once for 10 minutes. Now, hey, if you could pray once for 10 minutes, great. But just keep going to Jesus and talking to him. Prayer, just talking to Jesus, just talking to Jesus, having relationship with him, telling him what's going on in your life, telling him, you know, the things you're blessed at, telling him the victories in your life, and obviously telling him the things you're struggling with, confessing where you're falling short, confessing your sin. All of these things are part of growing to know Jesus, growing to love him, and then spending time in just praising him and thanksgiving, just thanking him for the different aspects of your life, spiritually and materially. And then, just, of course, obeying him. Right? Spending time just doing what you know he would have you to do and not doing what he would not have you do. And then I've talked about repenting, going before him and repenting, asking for forgiveness, confessing where you have failed to not do something he's called you to do, or wherever you were sinful and doing something that you know the Bible teaches is sin. I mean, it's, and again, so we do this because We want to be more like Jesus, and we have this accountability group. So again, I suggest every Christian in the world, every church in the world, every ministry in the world ought to be trying to facilitate, ought to have groups like this and help others have groups like this. And I've talked about this for years, but it seems to me that very, very, maybe 1% of Christians are involved in something like this. And that's something that we have to take responsibility for as churches, as ministries, and as pastors, where we failed. Yes, we set up life groups and we do all these things, but again, that's a good thing. Going to life group once a week is a good thing. But again, every single day, a relationship with Jesus is daily, right? What if you just met your wife once a week, you know, for an hour and a half or something at life group? Okay, it's a daily community. You ought to be in daily community with others in just helping them and them helping you facilitate a greater walk in intimacy and growth and obedience to Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's just what the Bible teaches. And we have to be intentional about it. Okay, it's about intentionality. You know, just you know, different guys. Josh was, you know, Josh did a really good job today when he's one of our guys. And, you know, just when he prayed, you know, his closing prayer, you know, at the end, it just was really a blessing. And again, all the guys, you know, did good. Eddie was really good today. You know, Steven really gave a, you know, when I asked the guys at the end what they, you know, what they had to offer, what, you know, what they're hearing. And Jesus made a point, Steven made a point that there's just no excuse. Okay, you either will be intentional and do these things, you will take the time to do them, you will put the effort in, you will have a, you know, intentionality, or you won't. And the great point he made was, if you are intentional, and to the extent that you are, to live this life for Christ, to make this effort, you will be blessed. You don't get saved by it, but you will be blessed by Jesus. And if you don't, you won't. And again, we live our lives as Christians. I said this to the guys. It was perfect what Stephen said. The problem is the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians don't know what they're missing, y'all. You may feel like your life is okay, that you're doing okay, that you feel good. But to the extent that you're living this intentional life in Christ will be the extent that you're experiencing more and more blessing and fellowship and community. And more will you be at home with Jesus, more will you know your Heavenly Father as your Heavenly Father, okay? Again, you don't get this relationship by doing these things. You come into this relationship by receiving Jesus. But how you experience that relationship with Jesus is entirely dependent on these things. And it's the same in any relationship. You love your children, your family, your friends unconditionally, right? If you have children, you love them unconditionally. They don't have to perform to get your love. You don't love one more than the other if you're doing it right. But you're certainly more pleased with one child than another when one child is obedient, one child's doing what you want them to do, and one child is living in a way that you know is productive and good and loving and prudent and wise and pleasing to Jesus. Think about your relationship with your children when they were young. You love them unconditionally, but how they experienced your love was certainly different, right? As a good parent, you know, your children experienced your love when you gave them gifts, when you praised them, you know, when you were hugging them, when you were just encouraging them, when you were building them up. And that was wonderful. That's they love that way of experiencing your love when you're blessing them, right? But you know what? How were they experiencing your love when they were disobedient, when they were disrespectful, when they weren't compliant, when they were just being selfish and self-centered, when they didn't want to do their part? As a good parent, you still loved them. But how they experienced that love was a little different. Is that right? Because they experienced that love from your discipline. As a good father and mother, they experienced that love by you bringing discipline and punishment. Okay? They didn't like that, did they? Right? Hebrews 12 said, no discipline is pleasant. okay? Because our Heavenly Father disciplines us. You understand what I'm saying? That example should be clear. You don't have to perform to get Jesus, your Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, to love you. They love you unconditionally. But certainly how you experience that love, how your relationship with Jesus is growing, how you're growing to experience him and see him move in your life, that is going to be entirely based on the effort you put in. It is, okay? It doesn't save you, doesn't help save you. Again, salvation is a gift. But like any relationship in your life flows along the lines of the effort each party puts in. Again, this whole teaching has, again, I believe, been Holy Spirit led. I was going to talk about 2 Peter chapter 1 as we did in Bible study, but this has been good. I think this is what we need to hear. I know certainly I do, and hopefully you do. But anyway, let's get back to Jesus' words in John 14, and we'll close up here. John 14, verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." That's love for Jesus, okay? How much in your heart do you want to obey the word of God? Jesus' teaching is the whole Bible, okay? "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." How much of a concern do you have to do what Jesus would have you do, not do what he wouldn't have you to do, and repent where you have fallen? Again, don't condemn yourself, but if you don't see a lot, if you don't really see hardly any love, go before Jesus and humble yourself and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I know you've done so much for me and living for me, dying for me and raising again, that you willingly entered this world for me, that you were tortured for me, that you willingly allowed yourself to hang naked on a cross and be abused and tortured so that I've been forgiven. And I'm sorry, Jesus, that I don't love you as I ought to." Man, I feel convicted saying that. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me," John 14, 23, "he will obey my teaching." Look at this. "My Father will love him." Apparently, the more you obey Jesus, the more you look to love him and think about him, it unlocks an element of the love of the Father for you to experience. That's important, again, you understand this. You don't get your Heavenly Father to love you. You don't have to perform and do to get your Heavenly Father to love you. But just like with your children, when they obeyed and they were pleasing to you, I mean, and this is the case with my spiritual children too. If any of the guys or anybody that I know is doing something that I see is intentional to please Jesus, I mean, I get so excited and I just want to bless them. I do. And that's a mark of a spiritual father or mother. But when your children obeyed you and when they're pleasing to you and they do what's right, and even if they do it today, it unlocks a level of your love that you want to bless them. That's not there. So again, there are levels of love that we mature in and grow in, and levels of walking in the love of our Heavenly Father, walking in the love of Jesus, walking in the love of the Holy Spirit. Again, you notice I didn't say the love of God, okay? Because love is relational, and you've heard me say this over and over. It's nauseating. You don't have relationship with the generic being God. Your relationship needs to have a person with each of the three persons of the Trinity, because it's a personal relationship. You don't have relationship with other human beings just calling them human beings. You have relationship with not what someone is, a human being, but with their person, with mom, your mother, or your father, or your brother, or your sister, or your friend, or Tom, or Kristen, or Nathan, or Kayla, or May. Personal, right? So to know the love of your Heavenly Father is the meaning of life. To know the love of Christ. Wow. To know the love of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 23, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Did you see that? Didn't say we'd go to heaven. Didn't say that we'd go to them. He's not talking about going to heaven here. But the more you obey Jesus, the more you're concerned to live your life for Jesus in all the different ways, the more that Jesus and our Heavenly Father are at home with us. And of course, that's true. We love our children unconditionally, but we don't really want to be around disobedient. rebellious children. That's why we say, go to your room. They have to leave our presence. Go to your room. Because we don't want to look on disrespectful, disobedient, cantankerous, selfish children. Right? As we all were. And our parents told us, go to our room. Or spanked us. Because we love our kids so much, we don't like seeing it. We're not comfortable with it. It's the same with our Heavenly Father and Jesus. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. It unlocks a deeper love of our Heavenly Father for us to experience. And we will come and make our home with him. They're just at home with us when we're obedient. You know, they want to be with us. They want to hang out with us. Just like we love being with our children more when they're obedient. Because we're going to have to love them in a different way, in a way of discipline when they're disobedient. In verse 24, like we said, there's only two sides of the coin. Verse 24, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Lord Jesus, we do want to know you better. We want to walk with you more. We want to be more intentional, Lord. Jesus, cleanse us of unrighteousness. Father, we just honor you and love you and thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict us now that we might live more intentional lives, that we might walk with you, Jesus, and know you better and be more pleasing to you, that you might be more at home with us in all things. Father, we love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.